was listening to a podcast last week where the philosopher and writer Alain de Botton was giving an interview. And he was talking about, in this interview, he was talking about love and romance and relationships. And it was a really fascinating interview. But one of the things that he said a few times during this interview was that we have this notion in our culture that true love means conflict-free love. That the course of love is fundamentally smooth. But, he says, the course of true love is actually rocky and bumpy, even in the best of times. And we do well to have this as our sort of baseline expectation when we enter into relationships, really of any sort. He talked about how a lot of the stories that we ingest about love in our culture, in movies, in books, in popular music, these stories are often not actually about being in love, but about falling in love. They're just like the very beginning part of the story, which leave us with a hugely over-romanticized notion of how relationships actually work. Marry me, Juliet. You'll never have to be alone. I love you, and that's all I really know. I talk to your dad. Go pick out a white dress. It's a love story. Baby, just say yes. And that's the end of the song, right? At least according to Taylor Swift. But really, that's not the end of the story, right? Not even according to Taylor Swift, because later on, she herself sings, "Baby, now we got bad blood. You know, we used to be mad love. But take a look what you've done. You made a really deep cut." And Alain de Botton is like, yes, of course. That's what we should expect. Not only in romantic relationships, but in all of our closest relationships. See, the surprise is not that we will have conflict sometimes. But the question is, can we be generous enough and gracious enough with one another to see things through? And I know sometimes that prospect feels like a miracle, feels like it would have to be a miracle. But that is precisely the sort of life and the sort of relationships that Paul is commending to us in our reading from Ephesians this morning. See, Paul is under no illusions that our life together is free of strife and conflict. It's really the life of any community, from a family of two to an entire nation state, as I know we are all aware. But for us who have been brought into the family of God, conflict is not the most determinative thing about us. And that is the true miracle. Paul says we are members of one another. And this is so because we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We have been bound together by the gracious love of God in Christ, who gave himself up for us while we were still his enemies. We are members of one another, whether we like it or not. We are a collection, a body of forgiven sinners whose lives are founded solely by the grace and truth of Christ. That's who we are as the church. And that being the case, that sort of puts us in a sort of relational training ground, as it were, schooling us for relationships that embody the kingdom of God. Not only in our explicit life as the church, but in all of our other relationships, in our marriages, in our friendships, in our work relationships. And because of this, because we are bound to Christ and to one another, Paul says, We should put away falsehood and speak the truth to our neighbor, to each other, which sometimes just feels incredibly scary and vulnerable. Be angry and do not sin, he says, which is an incredibly fine line to tread, if possible at all. Put away all bitterness and wrath and wrangling and slander and malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Do this, Paul says, for we are members of one another, bound together, sometimes whether we like it or not. Sometimes life together can be hard. And the closer we are in relationship to one another, the more precarious things become, actually. Vulnerability and intimacy are the way to true depth of joy and belonging, but they also open us up to being hurt and to hurting one another. And the difficult gift that we have been given as the church, this collection of folks bound together by Christ, sort of difficult gift that we've been given is at least the possibility that our being hurt and hurting one another may not be the thing that defines our relationships with one another. See, we are given one another in the church to be Christ to one another precisely in moments and situations of difficulty. As Wendell Berry writes about marriage, but which also applies to our life together as the church, he writes, "We hurt and are hurt and have each other for healing." We hurt and are hurt and have each other for healing. See, the gift and miracle of life in the body of Christ is not that we won't hurt one another. It is that the hurts and conflicts that we endure may miraculously become the doorway through which we show Christ to one another, through which we come to know Christ more fully in our lives as we practice, even in the midst of our brokenness and conflict, being kind to one another and seeking to forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. Because the fact that we need forgiveness is not surprising, at least not in my own life. But the possibility of giving and receiving actual forgiveness, that is the astounding thing. And that is the gracious economy that we have been brought into in the church as these members of one another who are members of Christ's broken and risen body. So as we live our lives together as the church, which is this sort of training ground for all of our relationships, may we recognize ourselves as fundamentally bound together. And may we grow ever more fully into the relational thickness that our common baptism signifies. And as we hurt and are hurt by one another, may we recognize ever more fully how in Christ we do indeed have each other for healing. For Christ has bound us to himself. He has made us members of one another. And he has called us to imitate him who gave himself up for us, that we might also be a fragrant offering to God, bearing in our lives the life of his kingdom. Amen.